This is Joe Richmond interviewing Tom Wiersma for the No Fit State Archive project. It's the 28th of April, it's 12 p.m. Tom, could you just tell me your name and spell it for me, please?
Tom Wiersma, W-I-E-R-S-M-A.
Lovely. I understand you're an early fan of the Jugglers. Was that before No Fit State days?
My first involvement with the Cardiff scene was through a company called Arts Play Umbrella, which was run by a person called John Paul, who was my neighbour. I became involved with John Paul in running children's workshops, which had a lot to do with the fact that I had children of that age as well, and my children were the same age as John Paul's children, so they were all buddies up and down the road, and I got involved in running Circus Skills Workshop for children.
So does that mean you have circus skills of your own?
I used to juggle, I used to unicycle, I used to still walk. I still juggle. I haven't been on the unicycle for probably over 20 years now.
Okay.
And I don't know how much damage I would do if I tried it again. And it was through those Circus Skills Workshop that I was first introduced to No Fit State.
Okay.
Which in itself is also an interesting story.
Okay, would you like to tell me?
It was during the days of Greenham Common when the women were going off, the women's movement was going off to Greenham to protest against the nuclear activity there. A lot of women had children, so I was involved in running creches in Cardiff so that to take these children for the weekend with a couple of friends of mine, and this would allow the women in Cardiff to go off to Greenham Common for the weekend. One of these occasions we were running a creche, and it had been decided to see if we could employ No Fit State Circus as an entertainment during this creche. I was immediately struck by the five of them as what a lovely bunch of people. However, at the end of the first performance that I ever saw of No Fit State, one of the, shall we say, ardent feminist women of the Greenham Common movement immediately complained, why was Ali Williams, the woman, the fall guy? This is very sexist, and I actually pointed out at the time is that I think it's probably because she is actually very good at playing the fall guy. It has nothing to do with sexism. That was the point at which my relationship with Ali started. And then because No Fit State were at that stage still working with Arts Play Umbrella, I saw them more and more, and then eventually, in the last year of No Fit State working with Arts Play Umbrella, I went on tour in the summer running children's workshops in the mornings when No Fit State would perform in the afternoon. So that's how I became involved with No Fit State.
Can you tell me your earliest memories then? Describe what Ali was like and Tom and the others at that
They
time.
Were a bunch of individuals who had specific skills. Like, for instance, Tom was a fantastic card trick magician. Richie and Ali and Peter were always great jugglers. Mm-hmm. Peter up on his unicycle was always a sight to behold. And this, of course, was all very new in those days because it was what was called in those days New Age Circus. And that immediately took my interest because at that stage I was also regularly working in Children's World in Glastonbury, so I'd come across quite a lot of the New Age Circus companies there. So therefore, I always had that interest in the new age, get rid of the animals, don't do the traditional stuff, make it more about the interaction between the performer and the crowd, and that is what I think No Fit State embodied for me. They had, right from the outset, an incredible rapport with children in the audiences. The children really hooked in it, and I can verify that because of my son and daughter were so taken by them. I have some lovely photos of my daughter sat on Peter Gregory's knees in the tent in Narberth, which is another place that I used to go to regularly with No Fit State.
Okay. How old were your children at that point?
My children were at that stage were 6 and 4.
Okay.
I was involved in a thing called shared parenting. I divorced their mother. I had the children half the time, which also in those days was a fairly odd thing to be doing. Well, that's what other people thought. To me, it was completely natural. So, because I would therefore have the children for half of the summer holiday, I would actually go on tour with No Fit State or Arts Play Umbrella for 3 weeks with my children.
Okay.
Of course, it was heaven for them.
Yes.
It was hard work for me.
Have your children stayed involved in circus?
Yes,
in any way?
Alice, my daughter Alice is heavily involved with Swicker. She is heavily involved with Carnival.
Okay.
And she is herself a graduate of Manchester University Drama School, so she went into the drama field. She is now actually a teacher. She teaches infants, but she always has kept involved with Swickert, and so she is very much part of the interracial cultural activities here in Cardiff, and has in fact recently gone onto the board of Swickert. So she's following my tradition.
Okay, very good, very good. Liz told me you were working at the university at the time when you first became involved with No Fit State. What role was that in?
I started off as a software engineer in the 80s. I wrote one of the first email programs. I've had an email address since 1982. And then eventually I became, in the last years of my career there, I became Director of IT Services in Cardiff University, looking after IT services for 40,000 people. Quite a big job. I very much enjoyed it, a very senior post. But I took early retirement and I'm now retired in Devon. But basically my career was IT, and this of course reflected into my No Fit State work. I can remember very well, sat in Oxford, I believe it was, before the days of the World Wide Web, when I had actually done some original World Wide Web development for the university, and I'd met Tim Berners-Lee at a conference. So I was acutely aware of the development of the World Wide Web, which of course at that stage was for scientists. They had no idea that it would end up where it is now. And I had started musing around the campfire one night on tour in the summer about all the future of internet and web, and people were sat there wondering what on earth I was talking about. And the following year I set up a somewhat clandestine, however reasonably successful, No Fit State web page, the very first one, which was housed at Cardiff University, very much against the rules really, but the university turned a blind eye because they saw it as part of my developing my skills in networks and web management. So we had a web page there which was known as nofitstate.ac.uk. It was part of the academic community. So.
Okay, I was going to ask you how you got away with it.
It was a case of, basically I was in charge of the network team, so I could more or less run up systems as I wished, but I did actually discuss it with my director, who felt it was a good thing to be doing, and he would not be making any issues about me doing it as a kind of an experiment.
Okay.
Because it really was in those days. We didn't know what we were doing yet, and we had no idea how this was going to develop into being integral in everybody's lives now.
No.
So it was very much in the experimental stage. I was beginning to learn on how to get... I was learning how to get pictures online, be able to click on pictures to get information about it. And I started putting the summer tours on as well. So it was visited quite a lot, actually.
Okay.
But when I looked at who was visiting the website, it was mainly other academics. Who were just interested in the technology rather than the content. But it was great fun. It really was great fun doing that.
Can you describe what the page...
Yes, it was basically a front page which had the traditional No Fit State logo on the front. It then had a picture of the five original members of No Fit State, some text describing... At that stage, the address was still in Splot. So there was contact details. And then on various other pages, there were sets of photos of some of the shows that had been... I can't remember exactly what they were. I do believe that somewhere in my archives I have that website.
Right.
So I'm hoping to dig it out for Toby and Liz, so that we can have it on the record as the very first No Fit State website.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. Wow, incredible. You became chairman of No Fit State. I think Liz described you as this respectable face of the jugglers. How did that come about?
Essentially, as No Fit State left the sort of, I've left being under the wing of Arts Pay and Parallel and set themselves up as an individual company, there became a need, one, to register as a charity, and two, to actually set up a company that they could, so that they could therefore trade properly. So it was decided that we needed to set up a proper company structure, which included a management committee, and that management committee essentially consisted of the No Fit State directors, as they were all known then, and myself as chair. I did not have a great amount of artistic input in that role. It was more a case of just making sure the processes of a company started to be followed, of a charity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was heavily involved in essentially just setting up the structures, making sure there were regular meetings, and of course the accounting, which I also took under my wing. And when, of course, No Fit State started going into the larger income brackets, of course, we had to be VAT registered and all that, and that all had to be carefully managed. So I got heavily involved in that, and I, for a number of years, I chaired the meetings. In essence, I let them get on and do what they did because they were best at it. Mm-hmm. That was their job. They were the creative people. They were always the ones full of ideas. Sometimes I would have a little bit of input, but not a great amount in terms of the artistic direction. The acceptable face, yes, because I had a respectable job and I also had various other contacts in what we would call the respectable world, I suppose. And essentially, as Ali used to say, Tom would let us take risks because he didn't get involved in how to run the company. And I did keep an eye on things. I did try and make sure that we kept everything above board. Uh-huh. Because if, as a charity, you have to answer for what you do.
I understand you were involved in some of the big community shows that No Fit State were involved in. How did you get involved in those?
I did quite a lot of tech support for things like the Armageddon show, and I did quite a lot of physical labour setting things up. Community activity tended to involve the concept of the workshop, and then possibly the workshop at the end, or the performance at the end of a series of workshops. What I think these big community shows is they brought the communities into a full-scale show. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a huge, huge win for No Fit State. It's what put No Fit State on the map in a way that it would never be erased again. And I think it was those shows that did it. I really enjoyed those large-scale shows, the Autogeddon and the Millennium shows in particular. I think Autogeddon was something very special.
And could you describe it to me as somebody who wasn't...
Autogeddon is this idea that if you add together all the people who've been killed by the motor car, there are more people who have been killed by the motor car than in any world war. So therefore it is the unspoken Third World War, what the motor car has done to society. So Autogeddon was a book that was written about this and how the motor car has really created this huge danger in our lives, which threatens our lives, and nobody has ever acknowledged. And the show was all about the kind of the violence of the motor car, but with the entertainment as well. So it was a lot of... it was a promenade. We walked around as the performance were on, but there were some fantastic structures. You might well have heard of Archaos and people like that who did these very vivid kind of heavy metal circus shows. There was a bit of that in it, a lot of wonderfully welded structures with fireworks coming out of them, and it was a celebration of the fact that we didn't recognise what the motor car had done to us. And it was, I think it was the first thing that No Fit State, where they moved away from entertainment to making a statement, a real statement about the state of the world, and aligning their politics left of centre in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I very much enjoyed, particularly Autogeddon.
Okay. Could you explain how the community were involved in it? How does it work?
By this time, No Fit State had a very strong foothold in the Splott State Circus. They had connections with the opera through Alan Dear, and then of course also because No Fit State had already by that time established itself, when posts became available we had lots of applicants from all over the world, and we started having people from France and from Europe being interested. So the community aspect of it is that certain parts would be allocated to the community. Like, for instance, the Sikhs did a piece, which was absolutely wonderful. Mm. I remember it well.
Do you think it had a lasting effect on the community?
I think it did. One of the things I think those shows did is establish No Fit State as something to be considered seriously. They weren't just another troupe on the road. They had a real statement to make. And particularly in terms of the aerial acrobatics, they were doing things that nobody had ever seen before. Mm. Very interesting, in the early days, No Fit State used to sometimes work at Glastonbury with Zippo. And Zippo always used to consider himself to be New Age Circus. When I look at it now, Zippo is a traditional circus. He's even got animals now.
Right.
Whereas No Fit State, I think, have actually lived the dream and have the New Age Circus and do involve the community and have taken things like Bianco to another place. And also, there's something about the performers who come to know if it's they all seem quite unique characters. And I've always enjoyed the people that have come to work for No Fit State. You know, they're interesting people.
You talked about Altageddon, but perhaps more recently, do you have a favourite show that you've seen?
The first Bianco show, I loved it. I saw it at Eden, and that's the last time I've seen them. Actually, I went and spent me and Ali, my wife, went and stayed with Ali at the Eden Project a few years ago, and saw Bianco there. And I was bowled over by it. Again, the aerial acrobatics, the firework, it had its unique No Fit State stamp on it, but yet again it went to new places. It's the concept of the promenade. I love. I think it is really, really fantastic. People sat in rows in theatres, yes, it's totally valid, but it is not as engaging an experience as it is with No Fit State because of the focus on the promenade. You're always moving around.
Obviously, you've already mentioned that you're juggling and unicycling back in the day. Is there another circus skill that when you see it being performed, you wish you could do?
The trapeze is the one. My father built a trapeze for my two sisters in the garage when we lived in the Netherlands still, because we had quite a high garage. And I could never wait to get for my sisters to get off it so that I could have a go. And of course, it was really a slightly exaggerated swing, but it had rings and it had a bar, and I used to love it. And one of the things I regret is I never took the opportunity with No Fit State to develop that skill, because I love the trapeze, I love aerial work. I think it's that part of that three-dimensional circus, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I had, but I'm a bit too old now, I think.
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you ever so much for your time.
Will that do?
Thank
Brilliant.
You very much.